The House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development will come to order. Colleagues, we are having an informational meeting today, and Zach, why don't you tell us what it's about?
Don Mann is going to speak of the NOAA operations in the Port of Newport.
And we have Representative Cowan, if you would be so kind. Thank you for joining us. And is that Mr. Mann with you?
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Members of the committee. My name is Jean Cowan. I'm the representative from House District 10, also known as the home of the new NOAA home port. And I appreciate your taking the time today to offer Don Mann an opportunity to share with you where we are in the project and how rapidly it has moved to fruition, actually. They've turned the keys over, but there is probably nothing that I would rather talk about these days than the opportunities that the NOAA relocation to Newport is presenting. It's just one of those things that when you walk down the street and it comes up in any conversation at home, everybody smiles, and that's a rarity these days. There is so much enthusiasm and excitement. We know that it's not going to be magical overnight economic recovery for the entire community, but little by little it holds a huge promise for us, and the state's assistance in being part of this project and helping us to be successful in the bid that the entire community put together and got behind is very much appreciated. So we're happy to have that opportunity to share. And I very much wish I could stay and watch this whole presentation one more time because I love it. Unfortunately, I'm supposed to be listening to a bill in another committee. So thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Representative, for joining us. And one of the points you just made is that the project is a result of the coordination of a lot of layers of government and individual effort. And one of the things I'm certainly going to be anxious to hear is how that coordination worked, with particular emphasis on how you were able to align all of those groups. So there's lots of elements to this hugely interesting to us.
It is exciting. And Mr. Chair, if I could add just one more thing. Thursday evening, I went to Portland for the Small Business Administration's annual awards dinner because, excuse me, one of our local entrepreneurs was the Small Business Owner of the Year, John Lavarkas, who has built a technological firm that I don't understand around marine research. And the other individual that was honored was Guy Faust and the Oregon Coast Community College as the Small Business Development Center of the Year. And much of that relates to the work that they're doing, pardon me, with local businesses and vendors in helping them prepare to be ready for any opportunities that come along in terms of contracting with the government. So it's just another piece of this picture. You know, you've got local businesses that are anxious to sell and to work with the government, but they need to learn how to do that. And so there's many, many pieces of this, and I thank you for recognizing that.
Thank you very much. With that, Mr. Mann, why don't you, how long is this? Is this about an hour long? Is that your thought or what?
No, not quite. 20 to 30 minutes.
I think if you don't mind, I'm going to suggest to the committee that you ask questions as we go through. It will keep people focused, and B, we tend to forget them in these more lengthy presentations. But the part of your presentation, again, I am most interested in is that which reflects the involvement of whatever level of government was involved in assisting in getting this project complete. Because so often there's a focus on letting private industry take care of everything, but in many cases, without the governmental assistance and without that organizational help, it doesn't happen. Now, if I'm wrong, you can point that out as we're going through.
You bet.
So with that, Mr. Mann, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, co-chairs and other members of the committee. I'm Don Mann. I'm the general manager of the Port of Newport, reside in Lincoln County. And I'm here today to give you an overall view of the NOAA Marine Operations Center Pacific project. And before I start with the slideshow, Mr. Chair, I will start to answer your question on how this came together as far as the coordination and cooperation of agencies with the port. The opportunity to answer the request from the government to be a bidder on this project, at first sight, it seemed a little large for our community, but I took it upon myself to begin that process by taking it to our commission, the Port Commission, for discussion and to create the interest that we could be an offer in this project. So the coordination we knew, because of the size of the project, would take a lot of effort on a lot of people's parts. The first thing we knew, we had to have the community support before we could continue with such a large project, because it would change the face of the waterfront community. It was a big project. So first with the commission, then with the community, and we knew we had full support from the community. And but then, because of the size of the project, we knew that in order to be able to submit a good offer on the lease rate, we would have to have a partner or somehow figure the finance for the project that would allow us to be very competitive with the government in submitting this offer. So that process started as far back as 2007 and then went through 2008 with communications from myself with the City Council, County Commission, again with the community, and the opportunity arose so we could have some discussions with our legislators, Senator Verger and Representative Cowan, to begin possible opportunity to look at the state for the partnership in funding this project. And as we started that process, everybody thought I was a little crazy, but we continued because we knew that with a good finance package, we could make this project work. And it did mean a lot of economic return for the region and for the community. So we continued, we started that process by coming into the early into the last legislative session and talking with the leadership.
Excuse me a second. Representative Benz has a question.
I'm really interested in that initial start of the concept, how that idea got started out, and then what group of people carried it forward.
The initial conversation that I had with our underwriter, we had discussions on where the possible additional funding could come from. We knew that we could not do a revenue bond for the entire project because of the cost.
Maybe just a clarification.
It's not the funding. It's
no. Cooperation.
Were you reading a newspaper? Were you listening to the radio? How did you know that this opportunity existed?
Oh, as far as the Mach-P project?
Yeah, what we see up on the board there.
Over the internet. I got an email that was a blanket email, and also through discussions and my communications with other colleagues, port colleagues in the region. And then we got a solicitation. It was a blanket solicitation through one of the web mails that I monitor.
And the solicitation came from NOAA? Or?
Yes, it came from NOAA.
So NOAA says
Department
broadly,
of Commerce.
We're looking, our lease is up, we're looking for somewhere to go?
That's exactly right.
That answers your question.
The Lake Union facility was...
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, what I'm trying to get at, I want to see how we can replicate what you did. So apparently we need to find people that are carefully reviewing their emails.
That's right.
Carefully reviewing these blanket mailings by federal agencies. And then we need to have people intelligent enough to recognize an opportunity when they see it. I'm looking for that germ of that spark that... trigger.
What can we replicate?
Exactly. How can we copy whatever you did? That's what I'm looking for.
It's one of those things that it's not written, and it's not. It was an opportunity, I guess, that I felt important enough after my first reading of the solicitation that it was important enough to take to the commission, have that initial discussion, and I kind of got the green light to pursue it, and with the backing of the commission, and we knew. I mean, it's hard to explain. It just had I had a gut feeling that this could be a fit for Newport because of what we have there in Newport now, the Hatfield Marine Science Center, the Oregon Coast Aquarium, and along with Oregon State University and the ship operations, which already is involved in marine science, it just seemed like a good fit and a good pursuit to make in order to make it successful. And as far as the other partnerships, the details as far as how the funding came about, I think the end result is, you know, we ended up with a lottery bond grant from the state, and that came through a lot of lobbying effort in providing information to nearly every legislator that we could make contact with or get an appointment with, and providing economic information of how this project could benefit the region and the state of Oregon. So the from that first solicitation back in 2007 and getting the opportunity to get the attention of the federal government to take us serious, they did, out of the original 30 sites that they were looking at, they narrowed it down to 11, and they came to Newport when they narrowed it down to 11. They viewed all those 11 sites in Washington, Oregon, at that time, and then they narrowed it down to 4. And of course, this is over 6 or 7 months that this occurred, and we were sent a letter asking us to submit an offer after their initial review.
Sure. Please. So how much money had the port invested in it by that time? And when I say, give me a round number, $5,000, 12 people,
Probably more than that. In order to, we submitted an initial overview of Newport and what the facility could look like, a very rough draft. We had an engineer involved with helping lay out the design and an architect. And probably by the time we submitted our first bona fide offer to the government, we probably had spent probably well over $50,000 to $60,000.
And where did that money come from?
It came from our initial. We had some fundraising. We got money from our the county, the city, the port, of course, and we also got some marketing and planning money from the Oregon Business Development Department. It's a program now run through the Infrastructure Finance Authority that the state has, and it fit that very well. So between the local contributions and assistance from the department, we were able to get enough money to get that initial offer put together. So this took a lot of coordinating, and it was done probably in a period of about 6 months in order to get that initial offer put together. And then we had 4 months after that to submit the final offer. And after we submitted the initial offer, you still didn't know if they were going to ask you for a final offer. And but we felt still strongly enough after putting it all together, seeing the solicitation, that the first gut feeling I had to submit it, and then after everybody, our partners got together, they felt we all felt stronger that this could really happen. And then we were asked to submit a final offer. So that's when we really went to work with the state to coordinate an effort to for that initial funding for the beginning of the project.
I think he just answered my question. I was wondering when, you know, before or after, when they came looking for the lottery bonds.
Nicely done. You anticipated.
Yes.
And some of you, and I had to thank you personally, because some of you I met along with two of my commissioners. We formed our own committee, and Commissioner Gobrich, who is the chair of our commission, was going to try to be here today, but she had another obligation, and also Commissioner Barton, Joanne Barton. So we kind of split up the meetings here in Salem to talk to the individual leadership within the House and Senate, and talk to individual representatives about the project and what that could mean for the region and for the state.
So to summarize, there's a recognition of the opportunity, and then the pursuit of the opportunity, and then the funding of the opportunity, and the willingness to take risk.
That's right.
Those are the four elements
yes.
that we've heard thus far.
That's right. And, you know, up until the time where we got the call on August 4th of 2009, we still weren't sure we were going to get that call. There was four offers submitted by that time, the four final, and we did get that call. And that initial phone call that morning, you could have knocked us over with a feather. I mean, it was pretty surprising, and it was a lot of emotion. I mean, it was interesting that in the politics of the negative politics started the day after, and we got through it though. So now what I could do is give you some highlights of the project.
Please do.
If you can see there, the construction phase, $19.5 million from the state bonds through lottery funding, and then the port did a revenue bond for the balance of $25.7 million. And the revenue bond will be paid by the proceeds of the government lease. The construction total during the project, it's not per year, the total construction for the project and construction jobs, $19.2 million. The facility will have 175 permanent full-time jobs. These are counted as the administrative jobs, which are in the main building of the facility, and then the ship crews as well. And each ship is 15 or more crew plus the support for each of those ships. The estimated annual payroll is $5 to $8 million. And keep in mind, these will be after the full complement is experienced with the startup of the project. They'll probably start off. A lot of the folks that were out of the 65 that were at Lake Union in the Seattle office, some of those have retired. Some decided with only 1 or 2 years maybe left in their career, they're staying in Seattle. And so it'll take a year or so to get that complement clear back up to the 65 administrative positions. Total personal income, $7 to $14 million. And there's a lot of vendors associated with the maintenance and products and services of the facility annually. And again, once the full complement and full operation is going, that could be $2 to $3 million in annual vendors and products and services. Additional research activities at the Science Center, cumulative effect of the NOAA project. There'll be a lot of partnering between Oregon State, the Hatfield Marine Science Center, and the NOAA ship operations. Keep in mind that NOAA has already had a presence in Newport for some time. The NOAA fisheries programs have been in Newport for many years. Also, there's opportunity for additional personal income in with projects and programs through the university. The total annual personal income or personal income impacts to the economy is $19 to $30 million a year.
Before you go on to the next slide, I have a basic question that is probably obvious to everybody else, but if the construction costs, or I'm sorry, maybe I just answered my own question. The construction income is 19.2, but the bonds are considerably more than that. Is that the difference in the income and the cost of the construction?
Yeah,
cost is closer to $45 million?
Yeah, in this slide, and I didn't get a chance to talk to the Economic Development Alliance, and that one slide kind of bothered me, too. The intent of that, I think, is the total income for the construction jobs during the project, overall project, from start to finish.
So the construction cost is closer to the sum of those two bonds?
Right, and you'll see the total construction cost of the project is about $30 million. You'll see that in the next slide.
So what else, then my question remains, what else to what other purposes are the proceeds from those two bond sources devoted?
The total, the bond funds, the 19.5 plus the revenue bonds and $25 million combined includes all phases of the project, everything from design, engineering, construction, and early site excavation, and demolition.
So maybe we should change that first part. It's not
yes.
just the construction phase. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
But these are our partners in the project. These are our KPFF is the engineering firm, Glass Architects was the architect for the project. DACPM was our project manager on the job. And the partners for construction was Anderson Construction and West Coast Contractors. It was a joint venture. And we had Pacific Habitat Services, who was our environmental scientist and helped us with our permitting. This is more of a breakdown of the services and the partners in the project. So the highlights of the project, the total budget combined funding was $44.9 million, and the construction budget was just under $30 million. The balance of that was the portion that is used for the all the design, engineering, site and other site development. We developed, and I don't know if anybody's had a chance to see the facility yet during construction. There's a large administration office, warehouse, some small outbuildings included in the construction, large lay-down areas for trucking and delivery of goods and services, and then, of course, the pier. The pier is just about a quarter mile long. It's 1,300 feet long, two access points, and you'll see that one of the next slides. The upland portion and three berths were turned over on April 29th, 5 days early on the schedule. And the final three berths will be turned over probably toward the end of June, but we have until July 1 to turn over all parts of the facility. And we're just going through the final punch list at this time. So we started the early site demolition and grading in April of 2010, and the guaranteed maximum price was offered in June. In the month before, we submitted our joint application for in-water work, and that submission in May, and we received our permit for in-water work in November, which working with as many agencies as we had to, that was a near record in moving a project from start to finish for in-water work. Upland construction began in May, and so once the upland construction started, it was 1 year, or just short of a year, for complete construction of the facility. The pier and in-water work began, like I said, in November, and we'll be finishing that at the end of June. We had, as I said, we got our certificates of completion on the 26th, and we signed over the lease, the supplemental lease, to NOAA on 4/29. This is a view of the South Beach Peninsula. To the top, the shaded area, green, is the NOAA facility. The portions on the right is the Hatfield Marine Science Center, and this is the OSU ship dock. This is where the Wacoma docks, and this is all new facility. In our early design of the facility, we made a design change. We removed this berth right here, and we pushed in the pier this way and moved this berth to this end up here. The reason for that is the I'll go back. The edge of the navigation channel, the surveyed navigation channel through the Army Corps of Engineers, passes just about right through here. So these two ships were partially in the edge of the navigation channel, and we did get clearance from the Coast Guard, the Corps of Engineers, and the pilots to maintain that location, but NOAA decided that we don't want to be in the navigation channel, so we redesigned it, and it worked out well. And the three berths that we just turned over is This is number six berth here, this is number five, and this is number four. And then we'll turn over these three berths by the end of this month, or middle of June. This is a closer view of the Upland construction. This is the main administrative office. This is the warehouse. And the this is all the laydown area. You can see the truck circulation area. And it's pretty laid out pretty much just as you see it here. There were some minor changes. This small outbuilding here was not constructed. And we did put a contractor's office over in this area, which is all part of the solicitation for offer. As I mentioned earlier, we received our phone call for the project on August 4th. We signed the lease on August 5th, and we started the political battle, I think, August 6th or 7th with our colleagues to the north. The this was the first day that we had an opportunity. It was a kickoff meeting with all our partners and with NOAA, and this was before any of the dirt at all. Was the only dirt was pushed up was what we pushed up with that blade of that bulldozer right there. And then we had August 26th. We had a visit from Governor Kulongoski, and Captain Bullock was the commanding officer at that time with the Marine Operations Center. She has since transitioned and is still with the project, but she is the transition officer for the project at this time. Mayor Bain, this is our project manager from DCPM, Joshua Dotson. This was our contractors meeting. We did a construction management general contractor process for this project, and it worked out very well.
I probably should have asked earlier, but do you remember what the other four municipalities were that submitted the final offer? I imagine Seattle or Lake Union was one. But.
Yeah, the facility where they were was one. It was Bellingham and Port Angeles. Okay. Port Angeles, yes. This is a quick breakdown of the project construction budget and the timelines. And we got a guaranteed maximum price from our contractor. This is the price that we was our target for completion of the construction portion of the project, and we were able to stay within that and was under budget by $200,000 to $300,000.
Representative Benz. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious how you were able to negotiate your lease before you had that number. What was the? Did you have a general idea already?
We did have with our working with our engineers and the architect. We knew what it would cost to fully construct the project, and that's how we got to the 40 plus million. Dollars, knowing that was our target for funding. And then when we the port, along with our with DCPM, our project manager, we put together the actual building construction pier and building construction fund, and that's how we came to that number, right, the 29.4 million before the construction actually started.
Please. So it's a lease, isn't it, with NOAA? That's how the bond payments are made.
Yes.
With rent paid by the federal government.
That's
for
right.
The facility. So when you're making your proposal to the federal government, you had to have some idea in mind what sort of rent you were going to ask for in that lease.
Yes, we did.
And that would in turn have been based upon this number we're looking at right here.
Yeah, based on that and based on paying back or determining how much we would need in addition to the state funding to construct the full project. So the lease amount was based on the payback of the revenue bond that we had to float, the $25 million, $25.7.
Follow-up. What I was trying to get at is the amount of contingency for not knowing, because you were going in to basically rebuild over an old site for a bunch of things that you wouldn't have known at the time you were conducting the lease or negotiations. Yeah. I'm just curious how you filled that unknown part of this exercise.
We did do an environmental impact statement on the full facility. and was determined that there were no unknown. We had a clean site, because that's always a cost escalator when those unknowns. And the team that we had put together with our architect, engineer, and our project manager were very, very good at estimating project costs. We also had input. The engineer that we were working with was working on another project with us at the same time, and that helped contribute to the final design of the project, and we knew what those costs were going to be ahead of time.
Well, there's still a bit of a leap of faith in there, because you have to rely upon those who are telling you what a project is going to cost.
Yeah, it's nice to know that you have a good estimator, but you often don't know that until the estimate is proven one way or the other.
So we see the bid, right? Yeah.
And we had a lot of faith in our team. We worked with most of them before, and the architect who had designed government buildings on the Hatfield Marine Science campus, we used that same design, which was a known, and we did a lot of research working with the architect to make sure that when we submitted our offer, each component, one component by the architect, then by the engineer, and through the construction estimates that we got from our contractors, it was very. We felt very comfortable in that number. We did give it a little leeway, but not much, because we knew that we wanted to stay competitive.
Well, please. And that is the question. When you say stay competitive, how did you know what competitive was?
In the solicitation for offer, the government, in their solicitation, indicated that there was a certain level that they could not go over in their lease cost per year. And it was pretty obvious to us that if that's what they're basing their estimate on, or their budget, that we should adhere to that as close as we can. And the other offers did not do that.
One constraint, then, that makes it a bit clearer.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Okay. I think you just said and the other offers did not do that. Is that
they did not do that.
Thank you.
I was surprised.
It makes a big difference.
This is what the site looked like before we started. It was the former Weyerhaeuser Salmon Ranch. These are all salmon holding ponds here and here. This was the fish ladder in the front of the facility. And this was the entry channel where the salmon would return. And there was another channel here where the smolts would return back into the bay. We started a project with some test pile in January of last year to get a real good idea of what we were going to be dealing with. This was a separate permit portion of the project. Before we even submitted our final JPA for all the in-water work, and the contractor, West Coast Contractors, did a two different types of pile. This, if I can find that arrow again, this is a composite concrete pile laying here and here. They tried that, and then these are 36-inch diameter steel piling with a stinger on the end of 20 inches, and there's a 4-inch plate in between. Ultimately, after the test pile were put in and how they drove and the bearing capacities, it was determined that the steel pile with the stinger, these are 120-foot piling, would give us the best construction and meet all design capabilities of the project. So we went with the steel pile. We drove 5 pile, and they were all put in position according to our drawings. That depending on what we decided to use, those would stay. We didn't have to take them out and redrive them.
Does that photo on the bottom say 122-2009?
No, I can't get that.
Yes, it does.
Whoops.
On the bottom left of the bottom photo, it looks like there's a date there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's... I don't know how that... So that is right at the face of the dock. I think that should have been 2010.
Maybe the
camera. I don't think the camera's date was right.
Yeah. Okay.
Earlier photo of the fish ponds that I talked about, this is the demolition of those ponds. It was kind of a before and after. We started with the ponds, and then we turned them all into rubble.
I think the date's going backwards.
Yeah.
Now we're up to 2004 before.
Yeah, I think it should be 2010.
122 and I, so at least the sequence is right.
It's right.
Still going forward in time.
The well, we demolished everything, and we were able to recycle nearly 100% of all the material. And as a matter of fact, all the crushed concrete was reused for the surface of the facility and some of the parking lots as base material. This was our official groundbreaking in June. And we had the community celebration. One of the ships, the Belle Shimada, which will be homeported as part of the fleet there in Newport. As a matter of fact, prior to the knowing of any solicitation for the NOAA Mach P, there was four new ships built with NOAA. This was the fourth one. And we knew that the fourth ship was going to be stationed on the West Coast. And in 2006, 2007, we started an effort to try to get this one ship home ported in Newport by coordinating an effort with Hatfield Marine Science Center and use the OSU ship dock just to bring another ship into Newport and have a NOAA ship relationship. And then shortly after that, and there was a lot of support for that, and shortly after that the solicitation came out for the Mach-P. And so I always tell folks that we should be careful what we ask for. We were trying to get one, and we ended up with the entire fleet. This is some of the construction. They start with the elevator shaft, the top left, and then this is all the conduit installation for the office building. And it's not moving.
Frozen.
It's froze.
You can follow along.
I think everybody has a handout.
Yes.
On the next page, where it says June 2010, the slab was poured for both the warehouse and the office building. It's all concrete tilt-up construction, and the all the slabs, all the walls, everything was poured on site and tilted up right at the site.
He's going to help you out.
You can see the warehouse in July. The warehouse was, and the office would begin to be tilted up. And these are some August photographs. One of the big parts of this project was the mitigation of the eelgrass area as a result of mostly of the shading of the pier for the approach. There's two large approach access to the pier, and what we did, which hasn't been done before, is we harvested eelgrass from the areas right adjacent to the project, and we took them in holding areas to the estuary behind the Oregon Coast Aquarium, where they're still planted and doing well. And the temporary planting occurred that same week.
You're back online here, too.
Over 3 days. You going up? All right, you can see it there.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you. This is the eelgrass area. The new pier comes just about right through here, in this area. And then the access piers are, one is back here by this old dock, and then there's one right through here. And that shaded that eelgrass area. So we had to build a new mitigation area. So all this material, this upland area you see here, there's about 3 acres. Almost 3 acres that we excavated out to create or expand the estuary to replant the eelgrass, which will be occurring next month. This is the replanting back in the upper estuary near the Oregon Coast Aquarium. This is the excavated area that I was talking about, from the one side we saw over to this point of this access pier in here. So the areas that this pier shaded in here and the one further to the east, plus some of the shading from the back of the pier and some of the dredging, it was about a 3-to-1 ratio that we had to mitigate for the eelgrass. Some more of the construction. This is what it looked like in September. This is the pier and nearly all the concrete. And this was just in March of this year and just before we had all the final paving done. This parking lot was finished early and did not need any more paving. This laydown area was, this was only the first layer of paving that had to be repaved, as did all this, and then repaving and the storm drains put in this area. As you can see here, where we excavated, if you drew a line from this point here over to here, is where we excavated this area, and we had to dig a -4-foot channel in here in order to get the flow. The eelgrass needs a certain amount of flow with the incoming and outgoing tide to survive.
So the eelgrass is going in between, in that area between there? Or where's the eelgrass now?
The eelgrass goes all through here.
Okay.
And then some up in here.
Okay.
And there's some in here in the lower L. This is about a -2. So we dug out the eelgrass, and we could only take one plant per meter.
Is the land side of that pier that extends upward there also going to be used?
In here?
No, the next one up.
Up here?
Just to the right there. Are ships going to be using that?
No, that's a vacant area.
Look narrow, yes.
And that's why originally there was a berth back here, as I spoke earlier, and the pier originally was designed to be about out here.
Okay. So Representative Widener?
Is that an oil spill at the west end of the dock there?
Right here?
Yeah.
Nope, that's probably just more eelgrass. There's some kind of plume there.
I thought we might have had oil in your bed. We really could have brought you some revenue.
It looks kind of a weird color, but you can see some more over here, too.
Brings federal dollars if you have an oil spill.
As a result,
appreciate your optimism about the
as a result of the overall project, and more traffic, more people in this area. This is the Hatfield Marine Science Center. These are new transportation and vehicle circulation project that the city started to complement bringing in all the new additional traffic coming into the aquarium here, the Science Center, and then, of course, NOAA. And we do now have a new roundabout. It's already in place.
No, Representative Widener, don't start singing, please.
What's that? Pardon me.
Inside joke on the committee. Representative Widener's outfit.
The verdict is still out on busy days whether the roundabout will allow the fishing boats and the pickup trucks to get around into our parking lot.
Right.
It worked well the first halibut opening, which was this weekend. And
good.
But usually the first halibut season is not the worst. Pretty much what it looks like today. All the paving is complete. This is the small boat pier. NOAA has a contingency of small boat that will use the facility. In the warehouse, this is the small boat shop right here. This is the wood shop, the metal shop, and this is the entrance to the main warehouse facility. Here you can see the roundabout is in place. The striping had not been done yet as of this photo. You get a better view of the mitigation area, and the dark green is the eelgrass, and this is the channel. And when we plant, we'll plant at a minus tide, and we'll have eelgrass at different elevations within that -4 to -1.
Representative Widener?
I've actually have quite a few friends that go down there fishing. Are there any plans for another boat ramp in
the
spot? You got the main one there.
Yeah, this is the main one here for the facility. There is an opportunity to widen this if we see the need for it in the future. We had the old ramp was in this area, and when we started, it's another complete project and story, but we did leave this old one open for a while, but we had to, when we built this new one, the mitigation was to close the old one. And it seems to be working well. There's three lanes here, and if we had a fourth, it would be a little bit more convenient. It gets busy.
Really busy.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, with the vision of it, that's a $40 million investment, but your city must have put way more than that in just to get to the point of getting the $40 million for the investment. I'm just curious, has there somebody run some numbers to see how much all the other stuff you did cost to get to what we're looking at right there?
Yeah, we could certainly provide that to the committee.
Actually, I don't need anything.
Okay.
I just
the order of magnitude.
Yes. Just a general idea of how much the community put into this to end up with 65 jobs.
The total dollars, when you talk about the city of Newport versus the Port of Newport?
The entire community, please. The entire investment that it took to
from the
reach
community.
What we're looking at right now, excluding the $40 million for what I think it cost to build that.
I would say that from the community, the port investment in this project, probably maybe $30,000 or $35,000 to get the initial put together, and then we had the initial offer. We had contributions from our engineer for the initial design, which helped, not the final design, but the offer design, which would have cost us over $60,000, but that was contributed as part of the early investment. And from our engineer that we had on another job at that time. It was well invested dollars from them at the time, even though they knew that we could go out for bid.
Follow up, please. Right, and I appreciate that. I understand these are rough, very rough numbers.
Right.
But from the day one when you saw the thing advertised,
mm-hmm.
Up to right now, I'm just trying to get an idea of how much a community has to anticipate that it, from whatever source, is going to have to invest in order to attract the what we're looking at.
And keep in mind, some of the biggest contribution is not always dollars, and it's the faith the community has in itself in order to make a project this size work. And I found that out during this project. I've been at the port for over 15 years, and one thing I can say about Newport is that if you present them with a challenge that seems real, they'll take it all the way. And so having that good community support and the partners and being able to sell that idea to other partners like we did with the state and the county also played a big role. And when I talk about the community, I talk about all of our local government, the city, the county, the port. And it was just one of those deals where it was the right fit for Newport because we already had the connection with the Hatfield Marine Science Center and the university. And as Representative Cowan mentioned earlier, we are now in vying and will be probably the hub for ocean observation that will bring a lot of dollars into the community. And also we'll be working with NOAA and with the Science Center and the ship operations there. So I think, you know, if you could put dollars to spirit and support, it's worth $40 million or more because everybody really came together. And also, you know, I have to say, too, and when I talk about the port, all of our commissioners, which are elected officials, we were all going in the same direction. If there was probably one negative elected official, it would make it a lot worse. Everybody has to be going the same direction.
Representative Byer.
Thank you. I was just in Newport now 2 weeks ago and was down in that area. Didn't get to tour it, but there was a lot of road improvements and infrastructure improvements that went on. Is that all included in that $40 million cost?
No, what you're referring to is this improvements that were going on here?
Yeah.
Yes, and that's part of that city project I was talking about with their urban renewal program,
okay.
And they also got some immediate opportunity funds from the State Highway Department. So it was that's a separate project, and what it included is road improvements all the way up to and where 101 comes onto the bridge, walking and bike path the full length of the facility, which goes up under the bridge and out to the South Jetty Road, as well as up to the bridge this way.
So in a sense, that might also be added into the question that Representative Bentz was asking.
Total investment, yes. And
did you already tell us that number?
That total project was $3.2
million. I'm sorry, I mean
the NOAA project spurred
no, that's
the interest
fine.
To
I was
get
just
that done.
Curious.
Mr. Chair, Representative, you had alluded to additional jobs coming to Newport as a result of this activity, and I was just curious if there already has been a building upon or result of these 65 jobs, or is it just still hope?
At this point, it's still an estimation based on the operation that was in Seattle. The Port of Bellingham did an economic study during early on in the process, and then the Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County did a similar economic study, which came up with nearly the same numbers of total annual economic return, which still comes around at 19 to 25 million annually once it's in full operation. As far as the total jobs, which is supposed to be 65, which I'm assuming it will be, the return, the economic return is based on those 65 jobs. If it's 50 jobs, maybe it might be somewhat less.
And this talk at the federal level about various cutbacks in the budget, how concerned is Newport?
We're not really concerned at this point. Early on, when we first heard of heavy cuts and then a continuing resolution and another continuing resolution, we were getting a little bit nervous. But NOAA and the Department of Commerce have assured us that they've never failed to pay their lease money to facilities. And we're hoping that that stays true. And,
yes, we are.
So, and the entire time that the facility was located in Seattle, there was never a problem. So.
Let's keep that trend going. Representative Bentz,
that's the obvious. So if they don't pay, what happens to the bonds?
Yep. First of all, we have a reserve built in for 1 year. And if they don't pay and it gets to the point where there is a negative return, we have to sue the government.
Thank you.
That concludes my presentation.
So what would you, if someone came to you, like today's committee, and said, what lessons would you point to for us? Somewhat similar to what Representative Bentz was asking about how we identify similar opportunities and pursue them successfully. What do you think are the top three lessons from your experience?
Well, first, I guess the first thing that I would want to know is, you know, how much support is for the project, depending on the region it's coming in, and that it doesn't go against the grain. I think that's important. The second thing is, can you afford to build it? If perchance we were not able to partner up with the state to help buy down that cost, we could have increased our lease rate, which would have taken it probably closer to three or four times the rate that we offered. And some of the other offers that were submitted were double our offer. But they had some existing facilities that they were going to rebuild or add to. We were going to start from scratch. So our construction costs, no matter how you looked at it, was going to be a little bit higher, probably a lot higher. And you have to make sure that the opportunity that you're pursuing, you can afford to build it, and the funding mechanisms are pretty solid. And I think that finally is, or the third thing I would say would be that goes back to the the community support for the project itself. You got to have that support because that's very, very valuable.
Thanks. Other questions? Quiet group today. Well, we're grateful for your willingness to come and share the experience. At least from my perspective, it's been a good one and the sort of thing we'd like to see more of in the state.
The economic analysis stuff that you have would be interesting. It doesn't have to be too granular, but I heard the direct job creation. If there's if we have data on both direct job creation and indirect job creation, mm-hmm. that'd be valuable. We
can yes. And Representative, Mr. Chair, Mr. Smith, we're going to track that as close as we can as the facility gets underway this July.
Yeah.
And it'll take a little bit of time, but
sure.
I think those numbers will look more real here in about a year.
Great.
And be happy to come back and give the committee an update during the next session.
We're glad to have you back. Thank you. Representative Widener, now all the questions come.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is kind of for Representative Pence, but I'm thinking Lake Oahe from one end to the other if we had some sort of transport system, because I get scared to go to the other end because I'll run out of gas in my boat before I get back. So might be some economic development for Ontario.
Is he talking about the reservoir?
I think he is.
Yes. The lake.
Yeah. Mr. Chair,
please.
I'll comment offline with Representative Widener, but I am curious, are there any negatives to this? It looks like it's all, I haven't heard anything bad about this.
In my opinion, the only negative is we ended up with a pile of sand that is a headache. And if you see this area right here, when we excavated this material out of here, we piled it here, and it's about 70 feet high and sitting on about 6.5 acres. And as you can see, we're giving it away. So anybody who would like sand, it's free.
I suppose you're well prepared for inclement weather.
That's right. So this has been the only negative comments I got from this whole project is that this pile of sand was blocking some of the view of the bridge in this area.
Contests.
And but gradually, we've already given away about 25,000 yards, and we're going to continue to give it away. This is just a small piece. We've come back to about here now, and we'll level it out some more and bring it down so it's not as what some people have emailed me and said, the ugly pile of sand.
Don't you have contests for buildings?
And that is the only negative comments we've received.
Well, that's good. Representative Smith?
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Airport, how relevant, if at all, was the existence of an investment in, you know, nearby airport in the project?
It wasn't a deal breaker.
Yeah.
But that question was in the solicitation for offer from the yeah. government of a commercial airport.
Great.
And the fact that at that time we had commercial flights, passenger flights, and we still do with
Seaport,
and NOAA has used that to a certain degree already, and I think that it will continue to play a big role for the ship crews, because all the ship crews will not live in the immediate area. Actually, they can live anywhere in the United States, because they do so many months on, so many months off, so they can fly in and fly out once they do their ship tour. So it's relatively important to and we'll see how important it is over the next several years.
Great. Thanks.
Other questions? Really? Any other questions?
Just before you gavel, I'm sure I'll throw
them.
I would add that my contact information is in the back. If you would like any follow-up information or have follow-up questions, please contact me. I'd be happy to provide them for you.
I like your email address, portman@portofnewport.com. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Look forward to having you back again, and congratulations on the project. If there's anything else to come before the committee, just to let you know, we will not be meeting Wednesday. Stay tuned for the verdict on Friday. We're adjourned.
You guys.
Do you have another question?